Today, I want to think about what makes music such a powerful part of the Christmas season with a little help from an old friend, C.S. Lewis. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip the Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you, as always. We are taping this during the week before Christmas, and it is a week that is filled with, among other things, lots and lots of music here at St. Philip the Deacon. So this past Sunday, we had our amazing service of lessons and carols that we do annually. We'll link to that if you'd like to follow along. The night before we taped this, we did another annual fun, sort of boisterous event, which is our beer and hymns sing-along. This evening, we're going to be doing our Blue Christmas service, which is a chance for people to gather in worship and, again, use music in that case to sort of comfort them during a time when they might be feeling not happy, but rather maybe are grieving during this season, for whom this season is maybe difficult and hard. This coming weekend, we'll celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent. Then we have Christmas and Christmas Eve and Christmas, which are, of course, filled with joyful, recognizable hymns and carols and tunes of all kinds that help us to think about the season. And then we'll follow that up with a weekend when we focus on a couple of those carols during worship. So it's a time, again, that is filled with music. So today, I want to say a couple things. First of all, I've said this on other episodes. I just want to say thank you to all of the people who make St. Philip the Deacon's music ministry so wonderful and so exceptional. We take music really seriously here, and I'd like to think we do it really well. For that, we have to thank both our staff, musicians, as well as a ton of volunteers. So I will just say here, hoping I'm not forgetting anyone, I want to say thank you to Sam and Selena and Steve, our director of music, our organist, and our associate organist. I want to thank our Saturday night team, which is Nora Long and Aaron on the piano. We typically have a flautist on that evening as well. Typically it's Linda, sometimes it's Julie, so thanks to our Saturday night team. Our 10:45 contemporary service on Sunday mornings is led again by Selena, but Chris and Hope are our vocalists for that, Cam and Dave, bass and drums. And then we have an amazing bell choir led by Joe Beth, which has become a really important part of our constellation of music here at St. Philip the Deacon over the last couple of years. Thank you to her. And again, thank you to all of the people who participate in other ways through our music programs. That's our sanctuary choir, our youth choirs. We have the Stone Arch Brass who join us periodically throughout the year, and a bunch of other instrumentalists who join us for special services like Christmas. It's one of the things that makes worship here special. And again, we do it really well. We take it seriously precisely because it is so important. So to all of you who make that possible, not only at high holy days like Christmas and Easter, but throughout the year, again, I just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I'm going to come to part two of this episode. If you're interested in hearing it, great. If you've had enough and you just are content hearing a word of thanks to musicians, that's okay too. Because now what I want to do is turn our attention a little bit to, given the fact that we have so much music at this time of year, I've been sort of sitting with, what the heck is it that makes music so powerful for us as we gather to worship or in other contexts? Music's a big part of this season. I mean, again, in worship for sure. Some people go and see the Messiah. That's a big part of this. That's a sacred work. Some people go and hear things like the Nutcracker, a little bit more secular. But music surrounds us during this time of year. So what is it that makes it so powerful? We actually talked about this a bit today in our staff meeting for a devotion. And I want to lift up one thought about this, which, not surprisingly, refers to my dear old friend C.S. Lewis. This may be the last episode we do this year, by the way, and if I end the episode on music and C.S. Lewis, we could do a lot worse. So I want to direct your attention briefly to a short piece that Lewis writes called Meditations in a Tool Shed. This is not, it actually doesn't discuss music specifically. It's sort of a way of helping us think about how do we engage with all of reality. And Lewis gives us a couple of different models for that. I'll get to that in a second. But if you have your own ideas about why music is so powerful, as always, I'd love your thoughts, and you can make some comments below. Back to Lewis. In this Meditations in a Toolshed essay, I want you to picture this, and maybe we can put an image up here that'll help us. Lewis invites us to think about him or us being in a tool shed that's dark. There's a hole in the ceiling, which allows a shaft of sunlight to come down. And in the first position, he is looking at that shaft of light from the side, okay? So everything else is dark, and he's observing the light. He sees the sort of the dust particles floating around in that light, okay? And then he makes a move, and he's no longer now going to be looking at the light, but he's going to walk into the light and look along it up through the crack in the roof, where he no longer sees the light because he's bathed in it, but rather is seeing where the light is coming from. He's seeing through the roof. He's seeing the leaves in the trees. He's seeing birds flying around. And ultimately, he's seeing the sun. He talks about those two ways of experiencing reality as, on the one hand, contemplation. So that's when he's standing outside of the light, looking at the light. That's another way he talks about it, contemplation or looking at. The other is from within the light. He calls that enjoyment or looking alongside. Both are legitimate ways of experiencing reality. But importantly, you can only experience reality one or the other of those ways at any one time. And so as it relates to music, what I want to suggest is, and by the way, music and Christmas specifically, what I want to suggest is that, yes, we can certainly talk about how God becomes human, how God becomes Emmanuel, God with us in the form of a little baby. And we can discuss that and reflect on it and have theology that sort of expands on it. All of those would be contemplating the birth of Jesus, which is a good thing. Again, I don't want to minimize that. But when we enter into the story a little more fully, including by entering into music, either listening to music or singing music, we are now moving from outside of that light and engaging in the story more directly. So we are in a place where we are enjoying the story, or there's enjoyment of the story, is that technical word Lewis uses, which allows us to experience something of the story, maybe a little less, this is, I think, a okay way to talk about it, less with our head or thoughts, and more with our heart. And again, I don't think that's the only reason that music is so powerful, but as I was reflecting on it, it struck me that C.S. Lewis's little way of helping us frame up how we experience reality also is related to the way music ends up being such a powerful tool for carrying the experience of whether it's Christmas or Easter or other seasons of the church year. I think that's all I wanted to say today. Again, I've just been sort of sitting with this, the power of music. I had just did a little teaching about this Meditations on a Tool Shed a few weeks ago, so it was still fresh in my mind. Again, I'm not suggesting that's the only reason music is power. It's not powerful. It's not the only reason way we should think about it. And again, if you have your own thoughts about it, about music and why it's so powerful, or maybe lift up one of your favorite Christmas music pieces, hymns, carols, or other pieces, and note it below, that would be great. I'm going to wrap it up for now. I want to pray, though, for each of you that this Christmas season, you can both contemplate on the reality of the incarnation, of God become flesh, of the Word made flesh, of God becoming one of us, right? Emmanuel. And that you also can enjoy what that story has to tell us today. A very Merry Christmas to each of you. And until next time, be well, stay in touch, and God bless.